Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America.
Hello everyone, and I believe, as I have said before, what we are watching is the attempt of a theft of a nation in what we would normally call a coup, except the weapon of choice is the vote. We are very fortunate to have President Trump, because if we didn't, we wouldn't even know that this was going on, because this is not their first rodeo. And this is the prism of America's education. And I shudder to think what our education will be under a Harris administration. I think she said that enough times. We were awarded a wake-up call, and it's going to be up to us to see what we do with it. Because if we don't act and follow President Trump and be warriors with him, we are going to be a lot worse off than we are, because this is not who the American people are. This is who the elite, who have been ruling us and destroying our country for years, want us to be. And I have invited Alex Newman to come back and share with me his thoughts on what's going on, and hopefully some clues as to what we can do about it. Thank you, Alex. How are you? What do you think about?
Great.
What do you think about all of this theft of our country as we are seeing it unfold in front of our eyes?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now, Karen. We are witnessing the most ridiculous effort to steal a national election that has ever taken place in American history. And the stakes are more high than I could possibly convey in words. These people are playing for all the marbles. We're witnessing an attempted coup d'etat. And if they win, they will make it so that it will be impossible for us to get ourselves out of this using peaceful means such as elections, the ballot box, our free speech, and so on. They've already announced they're coming for our free speech. They're coming for our churches. They're coming for our synagogues. They're coming for our guns. They're coming for our children. That is how high the stakes are. And I think I've been overseas almost all my life, and I think Americans have this incredible blind spot, this naivete, where they think that we are somehow immune from what has afflicted the rest of humanity for virtually all of human history. Tyranny, oppression, mass murder, genocide, things like that. I have bad news. We are not immune from that. In fact, the only things that made us different, the only things that prevented those horrors from coming to America, have now been eroded beyond recognition. Kind of our foundations, our God-given rights, our political institutions, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, those have now been left disfigured to the point where they're almost unrecognizable. And that was the firewall that protected us from the horrors that other people have experienced all over the world, all throughout human history. That's what's at stake here if this vote fraud on a massive scale is not stopped and reversed.
Yes, and now I hope everyone understands the importance of getting Justice Barrett on the bench, because it's not that we want people there who are conservative or vote exactly the way we do. What we want there are people who understand the Constitution and will vote on the constitutionality of a law. That's their job. They have one but one job, and that is to make sure that the laws that our Congress passes are constitutional, not to rewrite, not to interpret. Don't you agree, Alex?
Absolutely. I mean, the Supreme Court's responsibilities are defined very clearly in Article 3 of the Constitution. And you know, their role is to be fair and impartial in applying the law in the cases that come before them. And we need judges who recognize that that is their role. If they want to legislate, then they can run for Congress or they can run for our state legislatures. We've got plenty of legislative jobs in this country for people who want to legislate. But I think there's a very real chance this election could end up at the Supreme Court. And that could be good news, but it could also be very bad news. I mean, we saw what happened with Justice John Roberts. I am convinced that there was something very shady going on. I don't know if it was blackmail, although I've heard that from multiple sources. But something happened with Justice John Roberts where he abandoned his principles, he abandoned fairness, and joined with the elites, the cabal, the insiders, the establishment, the globalists, whatever you want to call them. And unfortunately, they have ways of turning others as well. So we do need an impartial and a fair Supreme Court. I hope we are getting closer to that, thanks to the three appointments made by President Trump. But we need to be very clear here that this is, I mean, this is not anymore about a difference of political opinion. This is about a coup d'etat that is proceeding right under the noses of the American people. They told us they were going to try a coup d'etat. This is basically following the pattern of the color revolutions that we've seen in Eastern Europe. And so I think it's going to take more than the Supreme Court to rein this in. I think Trump right now needs to be holding rallies, especially in these areas where there's been a lot of vote fraud, where the elections are disputed. You know, if they win this, again, they're playing for all the marbles. I don't know how to emphasize it more strenuously. If they are able to steal this election, the chances of being able to get out of this mess with another election are slim to none.
Exactly. And take a look at what you own and what you hold dear to you and what's important to you, and realize that under this regime, you will not see that. What you will see under their new Green Deal are a lot of mediocre things that you will be forced to live with as you get your stipend from the government, who then steals your labor. What do you think a Biden-Harris administration will look like?
Yeah, if we were to get a Biden-Harris administration, which I think is a worst-case scenario, we can start off with what they campaigned on. I mean, they quite literally campaigned on confiscating firearms. Right? Joe Biden said it repeatedly. Yes, they do plan to come for your AR-14s. Thankfully, I don't think anybody has any AR-14s, so that's nice. But you know, I mean, they're dead serious about coming for the guns. Yeah. They're dead serious about getting your children. They're dead serious about destroying and bankrupting the energy industry in the United States, except for their cronies' green energy nonsense that doesn't actually supply the amount of power that we need to maintain an industrial civilization.
I have a wonderful experiment for them. I think they should all get a jet that is solar powered.
That'd be perfect. I think the Californians are about to find out the hard way, right? That you have a governor that decrees electric vehicles while you actually have rolling blackouts because they don't have enough electricity. Unbelievable idiocy.
And then she shuts down the oil industry. And I said to one of my cousins, and where does the electricity come from?
That's right. And, you know, they've been very clear where they stand on all these things. Look, they're trying to shut down churches in New York State now. We see just absolutely outrageous persecution of the Jews, right? They're not allowed to meet. They're not allowed to come together at each other's homes. They're not allowed to be out on the street. We see in California pastors being threatened with arrest if they continue having their congregations meet. Folks, your most fundamental liberties are on the line. That's what people need to understand. These aren't Democrats like Democrats we had in the 1960s. These are raging totalitarians. If they thought they could get away with it, they would do the exact same thing that the Soviet communists did, that the Chinese communists did, that the Cambodian communists did, that the National Socialists in Germany did. They will absolutely obliterate even your most basic rights, your right to free speech, your right to freedom of assembly, your right to religious liberty, your right to keep and bear arms, all of it is on the line here. And the American people did not vote for this. Anybody with two brain cells to rub together can look at the Trump rallies, can look at the enthusiasm, can look at the number of Trump signs and Trump bumper stickers all over this nation. And I mean, you'd have to be an idiot or locked in your basement like Joe Biden to believe that there was a legitimate competition in this election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I mean, as soon as you turn off the fake media, everywhere you go, it's a sea of support for Donald Trump. This is an absolute coup d'etat. It absolutely must be stopped. And
I hope everybody understands exactly what went on. There was the same criminals, Podesta, his ilk, and et cetera, et cetera. And they all came up with this wonderful idea, and as soon as Trump looked like he was taking off, they shut down the election. And then they had to go and count the mail-in ballots. So if there was 15,000 in favor of Trump, they would find 16,000 in favor of Biden.
That's why these big Democrat cities waited so long. They needed to find out how many ballots do we need to put our Sleepy Joe over the line, and then, okay, now we'll manufacture them. And that's what we saw overnight. You know, we went to sleep, and Trump was way up in Wisconsin, way up in Michigan, way up in Pennsylvania, and then you wake up, and poof, 100,000 ballots magically appeared, and every single one is for Joe Biden. You'd have to be
an idiot
to believe that.
Yes, that's like cheating on a test and getting 100 when you usually get a 50.
And doing it while the teacher's watching you.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like the teacher's staring at you and you're sitting there reading from your notes. It's so flagrant. It's almost like they want us to know that they're stealing this election. It must not be tolerated.
Right. It cannot be tolerated. And now is our time for action. And we have to do whatever it is, whatever it takes. We have to get on the DOJ and tell them we are here. And the first thing we should say to Trump is fire Christopher Wray and get a real person in the FBI, because you're never going to clean out the mess by having the same people there. They are not going to police themselves. How many more years do we have to learn that?
That's right. And, you know, I'm extremely concerned. I've been saying for months now, I'm extremely concerned about Donald Trump's Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. This man is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He has publicly rebuked the Commander-in-Chief for suggesting that we would invoke the Insurrection Act, which has been invoked 22 times in our nation's history to put down insurrections. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable what's happening here. This is a coup d'etat. This is exactly the same type of operation that they have pulled off in Serbia, that they've pulled off in Ukraine, that they've pulled off in Georgia. They've pulled off similar things in multiple countries, and the same exact people are running the operation this time. They need to be exposed, and then they need to be prosecuted. And you're right, all the swamp creatures at the DOJ and in the Department of Defense and all the rest of the administration need to be removed from power immediately.
And I believe they should get the Paul Manafort, Roger Stone method of removal.
Amen. Yep. And you know, these people are actually serious criminals. Unlike Roger Stone, General Flynn, and Paul Manafort, these are actual criminals who've been flagrantly trying to undermine our nation. So.
And also, everyone, please understand, there is hard, real evidence. This is not made up by person to go out and write notes. This is hard evidence, and many of it in their own words. How much more do we have to take before we say, we're done, and tell Barr, are these people, Roger Stone style? And that's about the only way that we're going to have any kind of change. And you know what? Like I said before, Obama refurbished Gitmo. Good. They should have a new home forever.
Amen. Yep. That's a brilliant place to put people who plot against their own nation. Now, we have a word for that. It's called treason. It's not your regular little small crime that people can overlook, that we can punish you for a while and forget about. This is absolutely serious. You betrayed your own people. You betrayed the people who pay your salary. You betrayed your nation. You betrayed liberty. You betrayed everybody who sacrificed their lives for their country. It is so far beyond the realm of acceptability that Gitmo might even be too kind of a punishment. So.
Well, I would say that we could turn them over, but then I don't know who to turn them over to, because this, what they have done, is just unconscionable, and it goes right all the way up to the top. And the sad part is, it's on both sides of the aisle. This is not a Democrat thing. This is not a Republican thing. This is a group of people who have gotten together and have determined that they are the ones who should rule the world. Period. You have no say.
Yep. That's their objective. They fully intend to make each and every one of us into their slaves. And that is simply not going to happen, not acceptable. So,
no. And things you should be looking out for right now and going to and screaming about, if you live in one of these states, my goodness, they just took all of your hard work and threw it in the toilet because they said, we're smarter than you and we know better than you. This is very, very bad. And we should be telling President Trump, get rid of Christopher Wray. And if Bill Barr can't get his act together and get his departments cleaned up, say next on him also. We don't have time anymore. We're out of time. They did that. They were very good at it. And we have a big problem. Big problem. But the one thing we should have learned is there's more of us than them. And now we have to get to work. So what should they do, Alex?
Well, I think you need to act right now, like your life, like your liberty, like your property, like your family, like your church, like your synagogue are all on the line because they are. So I think Trump needs to find a way to communicate directly with the American people right this instant. Social media, Twitter, Facebook are censoring everything he says. They're not letting anybody share or interact. They're putting messages on it that he's a liar. So we need alternative means of communication. We cannot have the unelected totalitarian freaks of Silicon Valley deciding what the elected president of the United States is allowed to say to the American people. Period. End of story. I think Trump needs to be holding rallies all over the country, especially in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Just prove what everybody already knows who's got some common sense. Trump support is massive. Biden support is virtually non-existent. Do it and have rallies in Philadelphia, have rallies in Phoenix, have rallies in Las Vegas, everywhere where these shenanigans are going on. Get ready to file massive amounts of lawsuits and get ready, people, to defend your homes and your property because these people are, again, playing for all the marbles. Don't be surprised, especially if you live in a Democrat state and a Democrat city, to see mobs of Antifa, of Black Lives Matter thugs running around murdering people. In fact, I just found out a couple hours ago that Beverly Beattie, who is a wonderful black woman, a Christian activist who loves America and loves God, was stabbed in the back, literally stabbed in the back by Black Lives Matter forces in Washington, D.C. She's in hospital right now. Unbelievable. So, guys, get ready.
Yes.
I've been warning for months. It's coming. It's here. Time to be, ready for whatever comes.
As we say, they ain't playing.
That's right.
They're not playing. They are playing for real. So all those horror movies and horrible people that you've seen on TV, go back in your Hollywood mode for a moment and think when you saw those mobs coming, because that's what's coming. And all you have to do is look at Europe to see that lockdowns, and you will be told what to do by people like Gavin Newsom. And we have so much more to talk about. So we will be doing exactly that. Alex, thank you so much. Your input, as always, is wonderful and much appreciated. And let us stay in touch and hope that there's people activate, because that's what we need to do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Karen. Really appreciate you. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for having me on, and let's talk soon.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor. Old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, folks, as we know, the election mess continues, and there is not much that we, the people, can do about it until we hear the final results. We expected this. This is not any confusion for us. We know what's coming. And as a result of that, I have invited John Michael Chambers, who always puts his handle exactly where it should be and gives us exactly what we need to hear. And I understand, John, that you have set up a new website. I am really excited about hearing about that. So welcome to the show, John. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. John, thank you so much for joining me today. This is really an unprecedented day. What would you say about that?
Great to talk with you, and you're right. We expected what we see before us. If you connect the dots and look at what they were doing, and well, let's go back to COVID, and I'll be very brief there, but as COVID further developed, they used it as a means to usher in the mail-in ballots. That began the rigging. Then what they did, they set a false expectation that Biden would win, and they did that through false polling and a complicit media. Those were the beginning steps that led us to what we see occurring today, that we would not be able to call the election the night of the election. And it just so happens to be that the key states are all stopped counting ballots at the same time. And all we go to sleep with one set of prospective results, waking up to another as the ballots begin to get counted. So false expectation on polling, send tens of millions of ballots, which are ripe for fraud, and wake up in the situation we find ourselves in. Now, the president at 3 in the morning, as you know, for all intents and purposes, not officially, but everybody who knows our president, he basically said, I won, and you're not stealing this from me. And now it's going to do exactly what we forecast, and that is going to play out in the courts. I think he'll take it straight to the Supreme Court. Thank goodness we got Amy Coney Barrett in there in the nick of time, because if it gets decided in the Supreme Court, ultimately we win. And my final statement about where I think this, how this ends, is Trump wins in an electoral college and popular vote, and a landslide in the popular vote, and I believe that that's the outcome. Now we've got to get there, and it's really astonishing to see how clear it is to me what is happening, and what a disgrace. Because we've shed blood all over the world for people to have free and fair elections, and we don't have it here.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And then we should really take a look at the governors of those states, with the exception of Georgia. All of the governors are Democrats. And it seems to me that as soon as they saw their state swinging to Trump, they shut down their elections, and that has never happened in America, nor should it ever happen in America. Elections should never be shut down. There should be no way to stop the count of a vote, because the minute that happens, you cannot secure the vote. And as Stalin said, I care not who casts the vote, I care who counts the vote. And this is where we are right now. So I do think, though, that this was of a referendum on socialism, and I think socialism took a big hit yesterday during the election. What do you think, John?
I think socialism has become a trending subject and topic, as well as you know, last week, one of the big Google searches were, how can I change my vote, which tells you a lot. But look, I just want to go back to one more thing, because you raised an important point about how, you know, all of a sudden in unison, these key states decided to stop counting votes, and that was the end of the game. So now as they're waking up and we're recounting votes, what are the odds that 100% of the ballots that are being counted are all going for Biden? This is the rig. This is the fix that was in. And I want to mention one other thing, the National Interstate Compact. As I come to understand, and I'm just being honest, perhaps you and your viewers have heard of this before. I was so much incoming, I hadn't really realized this. I knew that the deep state, the Democrats, et cetera, were trying to get rid of the Electoral College. And one of the ways they did that was by something called the National Interstate Compact. And yesterday, here's a statement of fact, when Virginia was given to Biden, President Trump, as I understand it, had 720,000 votes, to Joe Biden's 466,000. Now, I'm from the old school. That's that 720 is more than 466. And yet the delegates went to Biden and the state was called. Well, what's up with that? Well, the National Interstate Compact allows for that to occur. And as I understand it, the finality of that shenanigan, which to me is completely unconstitutional, is that if the present loser, which would be Trump based on delegate count, hits 270, then those delegates go back to Trump. But right now they're on Biden's, and that's how he got up to 238. And that is unbelievable to me because Trump is 720,000 votes last night to Biden's 466,000. So there are layers of games that are being played. But like everything else, Karen, that they've thrown at this president and we the people in the last 5 years, really, you go back to the campaign of 2015, has failed. Very disruptive, but have failed. The witch hunt, the Mueller witch hunt, the quid pro quo, phony call that never happened, you know, the Stormy Daniels story, every single thing, the impeachment hoax, COVID-19, disruptive as it was, they failed on achieving their goal. This is the same situation, disruptive, and they got the country is the angst and the pressure cooker that we just can't take it anymore. You know, it will follow suit like everything else. It will backfire.
I could not agree more on that statement because it will backfire. The American people, I really believe after seeing the election yesterday, and if the election was called at the end of election time when the polls closed, as it should be, I mean, there. Think about this, folks. Why do you even think that a ballot should be counted after the polls closed, that was not originally sent in before the polls closed. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, they're finding boxes and boxes of ballots when they figure out how much Trump is winning by. That's what it appears to be. No proof on that yet, but that is exactly what it appears to be. So the American people, I believe, have spoken. They are sick and tired of what's going on. They are sick and tired of the shenanigans. And you know something, John? I was just thinking of this as I was saying it. The pollsters were 100% wrong declaring a massive blue wave. We did not see that at all. So I think that between the media, the polls, and the election shenanigans, we are in the situation that they have designed for us. Now, we have to be smarter to dig our way out of it. And I think that's where we are right now. So what can we do about this, John?
Well, yeah, before, just briefly comment on what you just stated, then I'll answer the question, at least from my perspective. You're right, the pollsters are just coming full circle. They set a false expectation to create the illusion that Biden is winning. After all, he flipped one state and blah, blah, blah. It's all BS, and I'm not talking Bernie Sanders, although BS in that term equates to Bernie Sanders. But you know, so that's where we find ourselves. And but here's to answer your question. There's something that we have on our side that they do not, and that's called the law and the Constitution. Now, unfortunately, like all of the other failed coup d'etats and treasonous acts and espionage and all the nonsense they've thrown at us, we've had to defend. Well, unfortunately, we've got to defend our vote right now. We have to defend our position, but we'll win like we've done the others because the law's on our side. And again, if this goes to the Supreme Court, you know, I don't think there's any coincidences in Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing when she did and President Trump bringing in our next Supreme Court justice. And we will win there because we have the law on our side, we have the Constitution on our side. And as you just stated a moment ago, we're finding boxes of this and this is thrown out. The reports are starting to come in and everyone in America is going to see this. You go to your favorite conservative or alternative news sites, you're going to start to see the reports, whether it's on Zero Hedge or Gateway Pundit or wherever you're going to find your stuff, you're going to start to see the evidence. But again, what are the odds? that the morning after they deliberately shut it down, that 100% of the votes that are being counted in these ballots happen to all go to Biden. You've got to be kidding me. So we have an uphill climb. I don't know if it's going to take days, weeks, or all the way through January 6th, which is the key trigger date with the Electoral College, but we will win. They will be exposed. And the beautiful thing now to get to your question about, well, what do we do about this? Well, we got to win. We have to win legally and constitutionally, and we will. And then once that's done, of course, along the way, you see, Karen, you know this, what's happening, the reason they're doing all of these things right now and will not stop until we stop them is because this is not just about winning an election. This is about these people going to prison for many, exactly, many years, because we have all their crimes. And we leaked out the Biden tapes, if you will, the laptop from hell and the three hard drives from the CCP and so forth. We have everything on them, and they know it. So this is the 11th hour. This is the battle of battles to either resurrect America and redirect humanity or bring us into the abyss of complete and utter darkness and destruction. But how we're going to do it is the law and the Constitution. Our president will fight, and win on behalf of the American people and everyone listening to this broadcast. And there's something that I'm not that well versed in technology, but blockchain technology. I was told that there's two things I'll connect very briefly, blockchain and QAnon. When they stole a lot of the primaries from us in 2018, shortly thereafter in 2019, I think again in 2020, Q indicated on the Q board that digital theft has been handled. We were assured that that is under control. Now, I know about the hammer and some of these other aspects, but we were assured that the digital theft has now been counteracted and under control. And then through a source I have very closely connected to the Q board and to President Trump's administration, whose names I cannot reveal, the president and administration secured patents and such on blockchain with regards to the votes. So we may have a protective mechanism with regards to that. And then there will be evidence of votes being flipped and things being thrown in the trash can. And again, it's above my pay grade to go down that kind of language. I'm not a constitutional expert nor an attorney, and thank goodness for that, the attorney aspect. But at the end of the day, they're going to lose, we're going to win. And the last thing I'd like to say is during this period of time, should they go ballistic at some point and release Obama's million-man army funded by Soros to wreak havoc all over the streets of America, the president will put that to bed with the appropriate armed forces. I'm not concerned about that. And the last thing to say here is, at the same time, we now are going to take them down. We are now on the offense. They are on the defense. Biden has some questions to answer. The FBI is investigating the intel on the Hunter, Biden, and the Biden crime family. And we have everything else, as you well know. So now we'll start flipping that on them once we get this election tucked under our belt. And then it's game over for them and lights out.
And I think that is exactly right. And that is why they are fighting so hard to, quote, win this election or steal the election, which is really what they are attempting to do. I think they are really shaken in their shoes because there really is too much evidence out there showing exactly what they have done. And the complicit media is a disgrace. And I think it's time that we, the American people, really shut down these media stations and all of their hatred that they have for the American people. Why on earth are we continuing to use their, quote, stuff if they hate us? All we're doing is giving them money. And it's time, wouldn't you say, John, that we start really seriously looking for alternatives to these media giants that have done nothing other than lying to the people for the last 4 years?
Oh, without question. And the president, he's uttered these words sort of, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, if I've done one thing in the last 4 years, I've exposed the fake news. And he has, and that is global, and that is our entry point. And you know, we've talked about this before on your show, but it's certainly worth mentioning. And that's many members of the media, both on screen and behind the scenes, are guilty of violating section U.S. Section Codes 2384 and 2385, seditious conspiracy and advocating the overthrow of a government, because they knowingly reported false information, aiding and abetting the overthrow of a duly elected president. They're doing it today, and they're going to face the music a little bit down the road. And programs like yours that allow you and I to have these conversations is the future. We are now the news. Even my newly launched, you know, I've gotten deplatformed. I'm in the process of fully being deplatformed. I've been received strikes. I cannot produce or publish. And any moment I will be deplatformed. Like many great people, Robert David Steele, X-22 Report, Praying Medic, the whole Q community, Sarah Westhall, and so many people. So I'm in good company. And I've launched AmericanMediaPeriscope.net, an online news network, digital, live streaming video shows, pre-recorded shows, and the written word. It's a work in progress, but I encourage the viewers to join us there as well. And but you're right, this is the new media. We are now the news. And once we get this election under our belt and we completely go on the offense again against all these people and start taking them down, we will form a new media, because as you see, Ted Cruz doing a incredible job getting the Google boys of the world to answer some questions, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and the other guy. We're going to win that battle, folks, in the second term. That's a violation of against our First Amendment. Trump doesn't need to be reelected. No political correctness. All gloves are off, and they're going to go down. I see it that way. And perhaps in another show, I'm happy to share with you how I define President Trump's second fight.
Well, John, that is absolutely wonderful news, and I hope everybody got that information. We have to continue to bring out the truth and to make sure that the truth is told. Hold that thought, everyone. We'll be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education and my guest, John Michael Chambers.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. And what an education we are getting today regarding our election. My goodness, what is this an election? What is this? Is this a free-for-all? This is absolutely unprecedented in anything that has ever come up regarding any election. And what we are watching is an election being stolen by a party who cannot stand their losses. They refuse to accept them, which means they refuse to accept the voice of the people. And remember what the people, the pollsters told us. A blue wave. Biden was winning by 15, 17, 20 points. My goodness, Trump would never see the light of day. Well, they were wrong on that one, weren't they? I guess they're going to have to reevaluate how they do their polls. Nothing is better, I find, right now than speaking to people and hearing their views on, what's going on as we face this, quote, election cycle. So we had some ups, we had some downs, but basically we are in good shape as long as we also keep the Senate. And I truly believe that our president has won this race, and I find it very curious that all of those races in all of those states that are in question, that were in question, are run by Democrats. I wonder how that happened. In any event, I have asked Dominique Clemens to join me and give her opinion and kind of a slant on how the millennials are feeling about what's going on. Dominique, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate your input as always. So what is your take on this election cycle?
Well, thank you, Karen, so much for having me on today. I'm still very optimistic. I believe, just as you said, Trump won this election. And right now we're seeing so much voter fraud. And, you know, we saw it coming, but to see that actually go down where they just stop counting. And, you know, today there have already been, you know, the Trump campaign is asking for, you know, Wisconsin to recount their votes because really, we have never had this mail-in ballot system that we started this year, and it is just going to show how the bureaucratic system has failed the American people in being able to accurately count the votes and for all of us to stand by anxiously waiting to see what's going to happen. It's a tragedy, and I think, you know, everybody's on edge. But I do think, you know, if we can get through this, I believe the Trump won.
Well, that's good to hear. And I am of the same belief as you. I cannot understand what was taking so long in Georgia, because Trump was up continually. And then all of a sudden, vote stopped. I wonder if Stacey Abrams, the quote, governor of Georgia, the self-proclaimed governor of Georgia. Well, she's not really. Brian Kemp is the governor. But remember what Stacey said. I wonder what a hand she had in this election and in its results in Georgia. That would be a very interesting thing to find out. Have you spoken to anyone, Dominique, on the election, and what is their feeling? How are they feeling along the same way you and I are feeling, that Trump has won and it'll just be a matter of time before it's declared? Or have they already stuck their head in the sand and said there's nothing we can do?
Well, so this morning I attended a luncheon. It's the Republican Women of Southwest Florida luncheon that they have the first Wednesday of every month in Naples. And there was a mixture of feeling. You know, some women were coming in with their sunglasses on and saying, I'm a mess, I'm crying all morning, just, you know, nervous wreck. And then, you know, just split down the line, other people who are still optimistic were praying. And we heard from Byron Donalds, and he was telling us about a Trump rally in Miami that he went to, and, you know, cheering the whole way through. Everyone's very excited. And then the mayor gets on stage, and the mayor had just shut down the city of Miami, and people completely changed. They started booing. They started getting upset. They started chanting, open up. And he made the point that we are not blindly following our party line. You know, Republicans, our conservatives are really waking up. We see candidates for who they are, and the people who we have elected in this cycle, we're going to hold them accountable. When they say that they're conservative, we're going to hold them accountable to those things. We're not interested in the typical politician anymore. And Trump, a lot of that is widely directly due to Trump, know, calling out politicians, conservatives that are starting to be vocal and really speak out. And there's a lot of celebrities too who are starting to kind of speak out as well, including a lot of hip hop artists. We saw that in, you know, the past couple of weeks of a lot of different hip hop artists coming out and supporting Trump. And I think that step in the mainstream media is helping young people find their voice and not be so afraid to speak out on social media.
So you think that the artists have an influence on the millennials and are waking them up and listening to their message? Do you
Definitely.
Think that's possible?
Definitely. I think in my generation, we idolize people in Hollywood. And so we can see how the Democrats have used different celebrities over the years to perform at their, you know, victory parties. We saw Lady Gaga last night performing. You see them endorsing Democratic candidates. And so when we're starting to see people come over to the conservative side to support Donald Trump, especially people who are saying, no, he's not a racist. I want to talk to him. I want to sit down with him. And they respect him. I think, and there's mutual respect there, I think that young people see that. And that kind of leadership, whether it's from a celebrity who's in music, or it comes from people like Candace Owens who are in the political sphere, no matter what, having those leaders out there on social media really helps young people not be so afraid, because social media can be absolutely, you know, terrifying for a young person to speak out of what they believe if it's not in line with the left.
Well, that is really good news, because I was worried, very worried about the millennials and about the fact that they notoriously do not pay attention to politics. And one of the things that I have been doing is working with the state of Florida to change the civic standards in the state for exactly that reason. President Trump recently signed an executive order saying that he wants American values to be brought back into our schools, which I believe would be an amazing thing, and that's what we're striving on in the state of Florida. So that is good to hear that young people are waking up and they are realizing that you don't have to go along to get along, and that you can have your own voice. Is that what you're hearing, that their own voice counts?
Yes, I think so. And I think that, you know, something that happened in Florida, thinking about how young people are starting to really understand how they're becoming affected by these, by politics. So, for example, in Florida, we did pass just barely, we passed Amendment 2, which increases the minimum wage to $15 an hour. We're going to see over the next few years, young people lose their jobs. Young people, you know, entry-level jobs are going to be closing. It's going to be very, very tough for young workers in the state of Florida. And so I think things like that are really starting to affect us. It makes you wake up. It makes you get to that the voting booth and start paying attention a little bit more to what are the consequences of these different left policies before it's too late.
No, you are absolutely right. And if we have learned nothing from this, we should learn that elections have consequences, because yes, they do affect us all. No matter how remote we think we're not involved, the minute you put somebody in office and they make a policy, it affects you, and it affects you for a very long time. Dominique, thank you so much for joining me. Well, folks, this wouldn't be a full day if we didn't hear from Pastor Rick, because right now God is presiding over this election, and we are all praying he allows America to have a second chance. And we need that second chance with President Trump so that he can finish cleaning up the swamp. Pastor Rick, I cannot imagine that anybody is comfortable in what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, Karen, and thanks for the opportunity. I look forward to talking to you and sharing some ideas on that. And you're right. I think a lot of people have good reason to be concerned. Here we are after the election. A lot of things will change over the next few days, probably. And one of the things that people start thinking about, and I start thinking about, I think lots of people do, is what kind of mischief is going on that we can't see? What's happening that's causing these delays? What's going on that is an attempt to manipulate the outcome? It's unfortunate that we feel that way, because we wish we all had confidence in everything that goes on and that everybody was honest and true and faithful. We've just been lied to so many times and manipulated so many times, we have trouble thinking it's not happening again. And the part of that that really gets to me is that when this kind of stuff goes on, where are the people of goodwill on whichever side of the political aisle you want to pick? Where are the people of goodwill who are willing to stand up and say, no, we need to get this right and not play games to manipulate the outcomes? Let's be honest and let's just get it right, that the will of the people could prevail. I think we'd all be happy if that would happen. Unfortunately, we're all a little jaded to think that it really will.
Yes, especially the fact that President Trump was winning and all of a sudden the election stopped, the counting stopped. What was that all about? Why do you think they did that, Pastor Rick?
Well, I'm sure there will be many explanations for why they did it, letting our suspicions run away with themselves. And then that's part of the reason I think we're concerned. There doesn't seem to be any reason to just stop other than to take some time to marshal some forces, to find some balance, whatever might be going on. And when we, the people, can't have confidence in our elections, it really undermines the republic that is ours, and it really diminishes the government in our eyes, and it hurts all of us. We can all live with a true and honest outcome of an election. We've done it before. We'll do it again. We all have trouble living with a manipulated outcome, what we probably should call it, what it is, any attempt to cheat with the outcome.
Well, unfortunately, I agree with you. And through the last 4 years, we have seen the depth of which the Democrats will continue to cheat. And I believe that not only are they afraid of losing the election and losing their power, but I think they're afraid of going to jail because the evidence of their cheating and corruption and criminal behavior is being gathered, and I believe it's there, and we will hear about it in President Trump's second term.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of stuff that is coming to light and that is obvious when people look at the evidence. And I think there is some real danger of sweeping that stuff under the rug. And I think that's why one of the reasons people are very rightly concerned about what's going on. But I wouldn't want us to totally focus on the problem. I think we also need to focus on, from my perspective, from many of our listeners' perspective, just because an election is one way or another doesn't mean it's the end of the world. We all agree, I'd be one of the first to say, that elections have consequences and they are important. We need to participate. We need to do the right thing. At the same time, elections do not determine our future. There is still a God in heaven who is still working in our lives and in the lives of our countrymen and guiding our country, and we need to acknowledge that. I often like to say to people that God is still in charge. And some people will say, well, God's in control. Well, no, I don't like to say it that way, because if God was in control, there wouldn't be any reason for us to participate. But God is in charge. He puts us in important places, sometimes for just such a time as this, to recognize that we have important responsibilities. Those responsibilities don't change with an election. And no matter what happens, God is still in charge. We can trust him, and we can still fight for the liberty that God has given us to preserve and defend that. And we must. We should not lose heart.
No, I agree with you there. I was looking at some of the statistics, and notoriously the evangelical community was not really engaged in voting. Did you feel that there was a change in this atmosphere, in this attitude? Have they become more engaged?
Well, I couldn't tell from my perspective whether people were more engaged. The people that I know seem to be aware of things and paying attention and trying to get it right. People would ask about other races besides the presidential race because they wanted to vote in the other races and they wanted some perspective on that when they couldn't find out about one candidate or another. So I was encouraged by that. At the same time, I am continually concerned that people of faith seem to divorce themselves from the realities around them. Now, I get all of the theological talk that we are citizens of a different kingdom and all of that. Well, everybody understands that. But that doesn't mean that the gift God has given us of this country, and that we don't still have stewardship responsibilities toward that gift. And I think people have forgotten that and even tended to diminish that. And we're not put here for no good reason. We're put here on purpose. And part of that purpose is to see to the well-being of our neighbors. And one of the ways we do that is to be engaged as good citizens. I said on Sunday, I've said it many times, politics is the pursuit of power. And so people rightly pursue a political office because then they can exercise the power that goes with that office. And we always hope that they exercise it for good. There's nothing inherently wrong with the power. It's how it's used. My concern is more about my citizenship responsibilities. I want to make sure that we get the best government. That's what citizenship is about. I'm not going to engage in politics because I'm not going to run for office, and I'm not seeking power, political power. I'm seeking the best government, and that's what a citizen needs to do. And I think we've forgotten that. I think we've assumed that it'll all take care of itself, and I think what we should have learned is people will get away with whatever they think they can get away with. And if we don't engage and pay attention, require accountability, vote for the right kind of people to take these responsibilities, then we get the consequences of that. And that's unfortunately often very bad.
You're absolutely right. And being engaged is where we have to be. It doesn't really matter what a community you belong to, what group the Democrats are trying to put you in so that they can separate you and turn you into chumps and deplorables, et cetera, et cetera. It does not matter. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to ourselves, to our families, and to our country. And that responsibility means we have to be engaged. I think if this election has taught us nothing, it has taught us that we have to be engaged.
Well, I think that it's always important to remind people to pray, because as long as God is in charge of things, then God knows what's going on, and he can protect the integrity of our balloting. He can protect the honesty of what needs to happen. He can put a block in front of the things that would attempt to deceive us, all of the things like that. And we need to ask him to do that, to intervene so that our country has free and fair and honest elections, and to do that now.
That is it. I agree with you 100%. You said a mouthful, and that is it. Folks, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show for today. And I certainly hope that everything has been sorted out. You are listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. And this is one example of an education that we all must have. And that is paying attention to our civic duty and holding those people that we choose to represent us accountable for what they do. Not so much for what they say. We have to look and see what they do. Pastor Rick, thank you.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me.